Blog Talk Radio.
Reverbnation.com page on SoundCloud, and they're on MySpace. So they're gigging tonight, so it should be awesome. So wishing you all a good time. Take a swig of beer for me. Okay, so yeah, those and Big D. So check out the music because it's awesome. I know their live performance will be so much fun. So I'm there in spirit with you guys as you rock it on, celebrating the arrival of the new year. Well, many of my friends have been sick in Big D, also, so I'm wishing you all well, and just I'm praying not to get that cold and flu bug myself, but wishing you all a speedy recovery. And those of you that are just not recovering, be careful out there in that weather, and take good care of yourself. So, again, this is the first edition of Cut the Shark Entertainment Reports, because last Friday I was, I guess, getting myself back together from my work and vacation in Big D, and you know, I broadcast every morning during my stay there. I was there from Sunday to Thursday. I'm looking forward to coming back in the very, very near future. And as a matter of fact, I just got an email from one of my apartment locators regarding trying to find digs to stay in, pet-friendly digs in the Big D. So, you know, I can just, you know, become a successful entrepreneur and go to school and all that good stuff. But let's talk sports today. I don't know if Reggie Ruffneck could be calling us or not. He's in disgust that Rob Ryan was terminated, and also he's super excited about John Payton signing his awesome 5-year deal on Wednesday also, because he had inboxed me and had left a message on my voicemail talking about, I want to talk about Jerry Jones and I want to talk about Sean Payton, because you all know that's what I want to talk about anyway. Also, but, you know, you can always call me and talk about anything and all things regarding your favorite sports and favorite sports stories. Also, I was checking out a story from about Deion Sanders. There's been some breaking news regarding he and his ex-wife, Pearlar Sanders, and so on. So I'm like, wow. There's a lot of stuff going on, right? We have the Miss America pageant. I know we're talking sports, but still, it's entertainment and lifestyle news stuff that's going on. We have a Miss America pageant going on tomorrow night. And then what, the Golden Globes? Are they Sunday? And I'm super excited about the Oscar nominations also. So there's just so much going on, and I'm super excited about 2013, just like many of you are also. So wow, wow, wow. But feel free to call in and chat in the chat room, 714-409-0614. It's going to be like a pretty laid-back broadcast, and, you know, feel free to talk with me and also to chat in the chat room, okay? Well, here's Maserati, Dick Schiff. How many of you all know about Maserati? You know about Prince? You know about Brown Mark? You know about Minneapolis Sound? You know about Maserati?
Switch it and fucking just make you feel terrific. with the songs, the movies that I scripted. And I'ma break it down specific. Fuck a speed limit, risk a speed ticket. Got a dude for tonight, you gon' get rid it. And stick shift it, a Mini Cooper, you just midget. I kid it, stay styling. My writing paper stay piling. Hanging out and for a while in. We're writing for other riders, so with the biggest smiling. Give you an inch, you want a mile. Damn, can't blame her for wanna roll her with a pro. Like my eyes, smokes go slow. Recites every line up in a dome. Like a cokehead, baby, plenty lines to go.
Artists, but still, that was Stitch of. Okay. Thank you again for tuning in. Here is Keep It Trill, King Trill.
And we gon' bring it back to the streets this time. EMG,
I'ma keep it trail. I still represent for these streets. Don't nobody rep this city like me. Man, I'ma keep it trail. I hustle 7 days of the week. Won't stop, my whole family gotta eat. I'ma keep it trail. Real G, don't fold under pressure. We hustle for the most and not the lesser. Man, I'ma keep it trail. I still represent for these streets. Don't nobody hold it down. Yeah.
I told you I was coming. EMT.
King Trio, native Mississippian, but based in Big D. Big guest on the show in the real near future. Mardi Gras time, Super Bowl time, of course. And Mardi Gras Fat Tuesday is February the 12th. So while the Super Bowl is going out, also the Mardi Gras festivities will be going on also. So, you know, we're definitely very excited in the Deep South. And some those of you in New Orleans, I know in the Big Easy, are very excited. We have a lot of festivities throughout Mississippi also in regards to the Mardi Gras and all that good stuff. But many of you love king cakes, and there's been a lot of stories going on here in the Mississippi media, especially regarding king cakes. And I received an email from Eater New Orleans, NolaEater.com. And those of you that love king cakes and plan to go to Mardi Gras and celebrate Mardi Gras, I might want to hear this article. I know we're talking sports, but then also this is also in relation to the Super Bowl and all that good stuff. And it says, this article is written by Gwendolyn Knapp at Eater New Orleans. And it reads, the king cake, that oh-so-delicious traditional Gulf Coast carnival pastry, breaded ring-shaped cake laced with cinnamon, covered in icing and purple, green, and gold sugar with a plastic baby hidden inside. Oh, wait, that's a king cake, right? There's definitely a split between traditionalists and their humble brats and the crazy kids in the dang king cake stuffed with banana, peanut butter, bacon, and marshmallows these days. I've been to a few Mardi Gras in New Orleans, but you know what? I have never had a king cake, I don't think, unless I was a little bit too tipsy to, you know, think. But I would remember if I had a king cake. I might have had a king cake. They have so much good stuff down there in New Orleans. I love beignets. Have been in New Orleans in ages. Definitely must go real soon. Peanut butter, bacon, and marshmallow these days. Whatever camp you're in, Eater presents where to get king cake for purists and progressives too. Maybe you'll get a plastic piggy, a bean, or a tiny musical instrument instead of a baby, but at least you'll know where to pick up your next cake. Did we miss a king cake? Don't see your favorite in on the list? Tell Eater New Orleans it deserves to be on the map in the comment section or send us an email. And I've tweeted out and posted it on Facebook of the different places where you can get delicious king cakes throughout the New Orleans metropolitan area. And there's a list that I can share with you. There's Sucre, is that how you pronounce the name? Located at 3025 Magazine Street, New Orleans. 70115, the Sweets Boutique on Magazine Street, and also in Lakeside Mall. Know about Lakeside Mall. Not only has king cakes of shiny, almost airbrush-looking icing over buttery pastry filled with cream cheese, they also sell king cake macarons for carnival too. Oh, I've had king cakes before. 2, Gracious Bakery and Cafe. 3, Dominica. 4, La Dolce Nola Snackery and Gelateria. Roosters Market, La Bolageria, Cake Cafe. I know y'all laugh at some of the words I say. Cake Cafe and Bakery, Haddell's Bakery, Adrian's Bakery, Tartan, Red on Oak, McKenzie's Tasty Restaurant, and Manny Randazzo and Gabino's Bakery. And they have the locations right there. So they're easy to find, you all, you know. So those are places that you can find your king cakes and all that good stuff. So that's good to know, most definitely. Right. For those of you that are traveling to New Orleans for Mardi Gras and also, you know, for Super Bowl, get you some king cake and enjoy. You know, do everything in moderation, of course, right? Right? I know. I tell you, it's going to be a laid-back broadcast. And the number is 714-409-0614. We're going to talk about any and everything from the Alabama win to the Baseball Hall of Fame class of 2013. Anything, whatever. You want me to talk about that new Deion Sanders story that just broke today. I'll share that story with you.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. First, she'll crawl. Then take her first baby steps. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school. I'll be watching her run down a soccer field. Staying up all night waiting for her to get home from her first date. Wincing when she steps on the gas pedal and then the brakes. Beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma. Or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Gather your family, friends, and co-workers and join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Janice Nolan with the American Lung Association. I am Assistant Vice President for National Policy and Advocacy, and I'm here to talk about our report, State of the Air. In State of the Air, we look at the impact of two of the most widespread air pollutants in the country, ozone and particle pollution. Ozone is a molecule of three oxygen atoms. It's the most widespread air pollutant that there is in the nation. Ozone isn't emitted directly, but it comes when we burn fossil fuels and produce things like volatile organic compounds and nitrogen oxides. Both of those, when they get into the atmosphere and in the presence of sunlight and heat, react chemically in the atmosphere to create ozone. So ozone often shows up at its highest place, far away from where the raw ingredients are made. Ozone irritates your lungs, leaving them with something like a bad sunburn. It can cause health problems the day you breathe it in, or even days afterwards. Particle pollution is a different chemical altogether. In fact, particle pollution is a mixture of mixtures. It is a noxious mix of microscopic bits of soot and ash, exhaust, chemicals, metals, and aerosols. Particles are the most dangerous and deadly of the outdoor air pollutants that are widespread in America. Particles that we're looking at are so tiny they're impossible to see. We compare them to the diameter of a human hair. The diameter of a human hair is 70 microns. The particles we're talking about are no bigger than 1/7 the diameter of your hair. And the smallest ones we're looking at are actually no bigger than 1/30 the diameter of the human hair. Particle levels can spike dangerously for hours to weeks on end, or reach high levels day in and day out for most of the year. We look at these in both ways because the impacts, either for high spikes or for lower levels at day in and day out, can be very deadly. The science is clear. Particle pollution can kill. Breathing it can lead to heart attacks, asthma attacks, and strokes, and it can affect how your children's lungs grow and develop. Particle pollution may be even more deadly than we previously thought. Recently, California experts tripled their estimate of the number of people that particle pollution kills each year in California. And that number is roughly 18,000, the equivalent of a small city.
Click. Ain't nobody fucking with my click. Your money too short, you can't be talking to me. Yeah, I'm talking LeBron, we ballin' our family tree. Good music, drug dealing, cousin, ain't nothing fucking with we. Me, turn that 62 to 125, 125 to a 250. 250 to a half a man, ain't nothing nobody can do with me. Now who with me? Domino's, call me Hov or Hefe. Translation, I'm the shit, at least that's what my neck say. At least that's what my check say. Lost my homie for a decade. Niggas down for like 12 years, ain't hugging us in the fucking grave. He never told. Who we gon' tell? We top of the totem pole. It's a dream team, me a dream team. And all our eyes twinning only means one thing. You ain't fucking with the click. Gucci. My girl a superstar, all from a home movie. Bow on our arrival, the un-American idols. When niggas in Paris, got them hanging off the Eiffel. Yeah, I'm talking business, we talking CIA. I'm talking George Tenet, I seen him the other day. He asked me about my Maybach, think he had the same. Except my tenant, and it might have been rented. You know white people get money, don't spend it. Or maybe they get money by business. I'd rather buy 80 gold chains and go ignorant. No limits, them gold masterpiece ceilings was just a figment of our imagination. MTV Cribs, now I'm looking at a crib right next to where Tiki lives. That's Tom Cruise, whatever she accused. You aren't really drunk, he just had fruit bruise. Pass the refreshments, a cool, cool beverage. Everything I do need a news crew's presence. See both swerve, homie, watch out for the waves. I'm way too black to burn from sun rays. So I just meditate at the home in Pompeii about how I could build a new Rome in one day. Every time I'm in Vegas, they screaming like he's Elvis. But I just want to design hotels and nail it. Shit is real, got me feeling Israelian. Like Bar Raphael or Giselle, no, that's Vizalia. With soup, deep depression when my mama passed. Suicide, what kind of talk is that? But I've been talking to God for so long. I ask you, look at my life, I guess he's talking back. Fucking with my click.
NFL.com and update on some probables. Marshawn Lynch is still a probable for the Seattle Seahawks. Marshawn Lynch is dealing with an injury, but don't expect him to be missing in action against the Atlanta Falcons. That's what Dan Hensis, Around the League writer, writes at NFL.com, Around the League section, and was just presented by KFC. He says that ESPN Radio reported today that Seattle Seahawks coach Pete Carroll told reporters Lynch has a sprained foot despite the injury. Lynch is listed as probable. Lynch practiced on a limited basis today after sitting out Wednesday and Thursday. Carroll was asked what it would take for Lynch to miss Sunday's game. Miss the flight, doesn't show up in Atlanta, Carroll quipped. He's fine, he'll be all right. Lynch has been the best running back on the planet in the non-Adrian Peterson category this season. He's gone over 100 yards rushing in five straight games, including 132 yards and a touchdown against the Washington Redskins in last week's wild card win. Lynch worked his way through back issues earlier this season. We expect the same here. And you can follow Dan Hensis on Twitter at Dan Hensis. It's H-A-N-Z-U-S. And also, of course, we're keeping track of what coaches are being interviewed and hired in different positions, from head coaching positions to coordinator positions and all other positions. But you all also know the big news that head coach, my friend Coach Sean Payton, did sign his awesome 5-year deal Wednesday. He'll definitely be with the Saints until 2017, $9 million we're talking. So big congratulations to the Saints organization. But I just wanted to mention that, that's all. But also there's other stories. I'll check out where Jay Gruden. The article I just read, I was posting it on my Facebook page. I have two Facebook pages, and so I was posting it on one of my Facebook pages. Another story is that Jay Gruden has interviewed set with Eagles and Chargers. This story is also from Dan Hanvis from NFL.com around the league. He says that Jay Gruden received his first interview for a head coaching job on Thursday with the Arizona Cardinals. Two more opportunities are on the way. NFL.com in Rappaport reported today that Gruden is scheduled to meet with the Eagles on Monday. The Eagles later confirmed the interview on their website. NFL.com Albert Breer is reporting that Gruden also has an interview scheduled with the San Diego Chargers for their vacant head coaching position. According to a club source, Gruden, the younger brother of John Gruden, just concluded his second season as offensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals. The 45-year-old Gruden has helped to develop quarterback Andy Dalton, who has progressed in each of his seasons in the league. Gruden has no NFL head coaching experience, but spent 9 seasons as head coach of the Orlando Predators in the Arena Football League. He was also a head coach during a brief United Football League stint in 2010. Gruden is now in play for 3 of the 6 open head coaching positions. Consult our trusty NFL head coaching search tracker for more details. And that's exactly what was my next step. I'm getting ready to check out this head coaching search tracker also. Wait a second. I stepped away from some kind of way of gotten off course on the website. Okay. Got to get back on course. That's why I bring it up if I'm not going to talk about it, huh? Okay, come on. Oh, tonight is Shark Tank night. Super excited for that. Sometimes I get sleepy when I'm watching, but I don't think I will tonight. Okay, they're saying 8 teams remain and many players left to choose from this weekend. So get ready. So this is a big, big weekend. Okay. That's my phone. Wow, that's a lot of stuff going on. Okay, wait a second. I want to talk about what I just told you I was going to talk about. So there's some other stories coming up. Oh, yeah, I did want to mention to you that the Chiefs hired Patterson as OC and Sutton named as D coordinator. And also the Panthers asked to interview Bengals Jackson. So I know the Cowboys is scheduled to talk with Kiffin. So they have named him the next defensive coordinator, and Lovie Smith is to interview with the Chargers. He interviewed with them today. So I wonder how that interview go. That seems like a pretty good match, Lovie Smith with the Chargers. But Here we go. I knew you had a schedule, had a meeting schedule, and I've been getting all kind of emails from the Dallas Cowboys. Monte Kiffin named Dallas Cowboys the coordinator, because I know that he is the one that's scheduled to talk in replacement of Rob Ryan. And I kept calling him Rex Ryan when me and Rich Westnett were talking, listening to each other on Facebook. The Dallas Cowboys hired a big name as their defensive coordinator 2 years ago in Rob Ryan. That didn't work to honor Jerry Jones. My Facebook page wants me to post this right now in the middle of talking about this. I want to read the story to you first. Because it's taken away, I can't read it. Why this big old thing is in front of me? Okay, that didn't work to honor Jerry Jones' satisfaction. So they found a bigger name. The Cowboys announced Friday that Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Southern Cal defensive coordinator Monte Kiffin is the team's defensive coordinator. Kiffin, who is 72, left USC after a disastrous run serving under his son Lane Kiffin. So, you know that last name. The godfather, and you know the Kiffins. The godfather of Tampa Bay to defense, Kiffin knows how to win in the NFL. But this move still doesn't make a lot of sense to us. The Cowboys have the framework for a very successful 3-4 defense in place. Kiffin's approach is diametrically opposed. They just drafted Marvis Claiborne, a cornerback that specialized in press man coverage. They just signed Brandon Carr to a huge contract. He's also great in man coverage. Orlando Scandrick is best in man coverage. Kiffin's 4-3 scheme relies on cornerbacks to play zone coverage. One of the big benefits of the system is that they look for cornerbacks with less sought-after skill sets that you can take later in the draft. Sean Lee is one of the best inside linebackers in a 3-4 scheme. Excuse me? The lava. You don't want to hear all that. This other's making me cough. I'm okay. I need to drink some water. Sean Lee is one of the best inside linebackers in a 3-4 scheme. He is far from the prototype in Kiffin's scheme. Bruce Carter was also an excellent 3-4 inside linebacker. Maybe Kiffin can make all the pieces on the defensive line like DeMarcus Ware work. Don't doubt Kiffin's coaching acumen. We doubt owner Jerry Jones' decision to completely change directions when defense was not the problem for the Cowboys when healthy. The team spent a lot of money last offseason on players for Rob Ryan's defense. Defense is now gone, and the players won't fit the same. By hiring Kiffin, the team is only creating more areas to fix. So you could tweet Greg Rosenthal, who published this article. And he also says that what's next for the boys? The writer, Greg Rosenthal. He also says that, let me get to this, because this is interesting. I knew they had that interview, and I figured he was going to get hired, but, he goes on to say that so Monte Kiffin appears to be the man in Dallas. The 17-year-old defensive coordinator truly is, with apologies to Steve Spurrier, the old ball coach, which means he brings a lot of experience to an organization that requires it. Perhaps the only assistant in pro football who's seen more than Kiffin is the Pittsburgh Steelers' Dick LeBeau. Although those two couldn't be any more different in style, in fact, recently fired Rob Ryan is more similar to LeBeau, altering 3-4 fronts and blitzes to confuse offenses. But at the end of the day, Ryan's tactics were deemed not effective enough by Jerry Jones, and many around the league were caught off guard when the coach with the surfer dad look was let go. Jones promised changes after an 8-8 season. Turns out Ryan was the headliner. And they're questioning if that was the biggest issue. And now that the process of change continues with the hiring, this is just the beginning of another long offseason in the Big D. So let's take stock of things with 5 questions and answers about the past, present, and future of the NFL's most polarizing franchise. About 70 more seconds of live of streaming, but the show will continue. It says that, who is Monte Kiffin and what does he bring to the table? Well, he is the veteran defensive mind, head coach. It's just that, added 46 years after getting his start as a graduate assistant at Nebraska in 66, 2 years before I was born. That was 4 years before the NFL merger. Deion Sanders was negative 1 years old. Kiffin has spent 26 years in the NFL with 15 coming as a coordinator, but he is most famous for his 13-year stint as defensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from 96 to 2008. It was during that time that he and Tony Dungy perfected the cover two, which ultimately became known as the Tampa two. Defensive schemes don't get named after NFL cities unless there was a lot of success involved. Dungy and Kiffin helped turn the NFL's laughingstock franchise, a club that had suffered through 13 straight losing seasons, into a playoff team in only their Bucks went to the playoffs 4 of 6 years under Dungy. Kiffin's 4-3 defense had the 3 Ds. It was disruptive, disciplined, and damn good. The unit with players like Warren Sapp and John Lynch was considered such a major factor that John Gruden retained Kiffin upon taking the Tampa Bay head coaching job in 2002. The Cowboys suited for a 4-3 shift after playing a 3-4 under Ryan. Not exactly. Capable of change, sure. Best suited, not yet. DeMarcus Ware, Sean Lee, and Jay Ratliff, the three best players on the defense, excel in a 3-4 scheme Dallas has been playing. In a 4-3, Ware would have his hand in the dirt more often. He would not have the opportunity to lock up with tight ends or running backs in pass protection as often. Since entering the league, he's only played the 3-4 OLB. In fact, the whole reason he was selected 11 overall in the 05 NFL draft was so former Cowboys coach Bill Parcells could switch the team to a 3-4 base scheme. Meanwhile, Lee would transition to the middle linebacker in a 4-3. This could be fine, but considering Lee's already one of the best, if not the best, in the game at inside linebacker, do you really want to mess with his development going into his fourth NFL season? Lee's role in Kiffin's traditional defense would be that of Hardy Nickerson, a middle backer who could get depth and cover in the middle of the field, and a big part of the Bucs defense that held the greatest show on turf. The 1999 Rams to only 11 points in the NFL, in the NFC Championship game, think Brian Urlacher. Ratliff would make the most sense in 4-3 as he was drafted as a defensive end and is a bit undersized in the nose. Yet, he's one heck of a disruptive, gashing nose tackle. Even Ryan said of Ratliff, we're a different defense with him in there. Ryan would know Ratliff missed 10 games in 2012. It helped that he could fill the Warren Sapp role, a poor man's version from defensive tackle. Another guy who missed some time, outside linebacker Anthony Spencer, just had his best NFL season with 11 sacks. Any potential scheme changes might partially hinge on whether or not they re-sign him. If they don't, play in the 4-3 and slide an athletic high upside, ILB Bruce Carter outside might make the most sense. In that scenario, Dallas will likely draft a smaller defensive end while pushing the underrated Jason Hatcher from the edge to defensive tackle. Bottom line, this is a 3-4 defense, and you don't necessarily want to turn your top-notch starting pitchers into middle relievers for nothing. That said, if Monte Kiffin is the man for the job and you take into account his tremendous success as a 4-3 guy and Spencer walks onto the open market, then a broad, super philosophical switch makes sense. So was Rob Ryan's defense the problem in Dallas in 2012? No. Injury was the biggest reason the Cowboys missed the playoffs. Just to give you an idea of how depleted this unit was, in the second half of the Week 14 game against the Cincinnati Bengals, Ryan fielded a defense without his usual starters at a defensive end. Nose tackle, left inside linebacker, right inside linebacker, slot cornerback, right cornerback, and strong safety. Ware played the last several games with an injury, that's my phone, that made a huge difference in the de facto NFC East title game. against the Washington Redskins in Week 17, when the Cowboys could not hold the edge versus Robert Griffin III and Alfred Morris. That was the night I had arrived in Dallas to quickly tune to the game. And then, you know, the breaking news of Hillary had happened. And I was so sleepy, too. In addition to where, and I was so shocked when I saw the news conference showing that the Cowboys had lost. In addition to where his compromised status, Lee missed the last 10 games of the season while Ratliff played in his fifth contest. Ratliff's backup, Josh Brent, was involved in a drunk driving accident that killed teammate Jerry Brown and rocked the franchise. The defense was in mess for much of the 2012 campaign, yet there were games like the aforementioned Bengals, out which the undermanned Cowboys actually won, but the defense kept the team afloat. Bottom line, the wave of injuries must be taken into account when assessing Ryan's 2012 union, and even so, the defense is the only component worthy of blame. Great cases could be made for a porous offensive line and some suspect game management, but those are diatribes for another day. Okay, let's find Ryan off a move. No, despite the fact that I think, and this is from the writer, that I think he did a commendable job given all the adversity detailed above. Ryan is what he is, an unorthodox defensive coordinator who doesn't get as many takeaways from his unit as he should. Despite the ever-changing personnel groupings and aggressive techniques he employs in the back seven, moreover, Ryan's apparent off-the-cuff tactics with blitzing and fronts meant to confuse opposing offenses. Often confused his own guys, which is why you repeatedly saw too many men on the field. Too few guys on the field are defensive backs looking at each other quizzically. This disorganization was chronicled in a strong piece by Brian Broaddus on DallasCowboys.com. And then they're showing like video footage also that questions, will Romo ever get over the hump? And then there's this, and then there is Ryan's overwhelming track record. Here's how Ryan commanded units have ranked in total defense since 04. When he first became a coordinator, 30th, 27th, 3rd, 22nd, 27th, 31st, 22nd, 14th, and 19th. Those last two rankings are from 2011 and 2012. His two seasons in Dallas. And in those years, Dallas finished 16th and tied 28th in takeaways. Bottom line, Ryan might have done the best he could in 2012 with a mesh unit. Yet if Jerry and Stephen Jones still Kiffin is an upgrade, it's hard to argue with them in light of Ryan's overall catalog of work. What now? I wouldn't expect any changes. The magnitude of Ryan firing come down soon. Sorry, haters, Tony Romo is not getting traded. Probably the biggest truck coming down the turnpike is what happens with Spencer. There aren't a lot of double-digit set guys walking around the marketplace. And as far as Kiffin is concerned, maybe last season at USC wasn't his finest, but Jones wouldn't have fired him if he felt he couldn't fit in. Jason Garrett is the head coach, and while jokes abound about him being Jones' red-headed puppet, ultimately it's the head coach and his staff who meet regularly. So Garrett and Kiffin must cohabitate. I think they will on the surface. Garrett and Ryan made it work, even when the team didn't perform well, or when Ryan received an embarrassing, unsportsmanlike penalty from the sidelines, a rarity for a defensive coordinator. Ryan is not for everybody, which tells you that Garrett is more adaptable than one would think. His focus truly is on winning. We'll see how it goes from here. And Elliot Harrison is the author of this article from NFL.com, and you can tweet him at Harrison_NFL. That's a very interesting take on what's going on, is it not? So he's tweeting. So I'm going to retweet, I guess, his most recent tweet and so on. So this is, there's a lot to talk about. So I retweeted under my handle, Culture Shock Inc., KULTRESOKENT. And I'm following Elliot. Elliot Harrison has covered the NFL with Fox Sports, NFL Network, and NFL.com. He's now a regular contributor on NFL Fantasy Live and NFL.com. Okay? So that's interesting. So let's see. like that. Google Plus it. I'm Google Plusing it for you guys and ladies and everybody else. So let's see. Whoa, there I go again. I'm being redirected. I guess I'm posting this on Facebook. I thought I had posted. You know, sometimes when you think it's done and over with and you're posting something, then it's like, okay, you got to continue on and post this. So I was like, I already had liked it and put it off, and I'm literally posting it. Like, I know when I like it, you're going to see what happens. And when you're broadcasting live on air, especially the first sports edition of Culture Shock Entertainment Reports. Hey, send me some good music, you guys, and your press kits, too, those of you that want to be guests and guest co-hosts also. Also, NFL.com is asking who would play in the AFC and NFC championships. Make your picks. I've also been checking out this story about Trent Williams being fined $78.75. Wow. And, wow. So, let's see. Okay, shout out also to one of my new friends, an awesome artist that I'm looking forward to working with, and that's Trap. Trap is amazing. You all might have seen when I posted, like, a freestyle video of him a few weeks ago. Just want to shout him out in case he and his friends are listening, and he shout out all my worldwide friends from everywhere, here in the States to UK and Australia and Dubai and all that good stuff. Okay, Trent Williams fined $78.75 for Richard Sherman punch. Wow. Washington Redskins tackle Trent Williams to Seattle Seahawks cornerback Richard Sherman. I'm going to punch you in your blank face during the post-game dust-up last week. Then he used an open hand to shove Sherman in the face. The NFL has fined Williams $7,875 for the incident. That's a lot of dough for a push, not a punch with a closed fist, but a shove that had so little force that Sherman started laughing. The funny part is if Williams did the same during the game and not afterward, he probably wouldn't have been flagged or fined. But the league can't have guys putting their hands on others after the game. So, 78-75 it is, and Kareem Copeland wrote this article, and you can tweet Kareem at Kareem Copeland, K-A-R-E-E-M-C-O-P-E-L-A-N-D. And I know I've been doing this, the profiles of the coaches, and I'm gonna finish profiling those coaches if I just go all of them. So don't you fret. I'm going to do that. I might not get a chance to profile any today, but I'm pretty much talking about Kiffin. That's been like a profile, but I will. They're also saying that San Francisco 49ers, Justin Smith is listed as a probable. Carolina Panthers want to speak to Hugh Jackson. Let's see. Checking out this NFL head coaching tracker, search tracker. Seven coaches were fired on Black Monday, so it's hiring season now. We've all have all the news covered in around the league, but come back to our head coaching research tracker for a one-stop. So one-stop shop of all the latest news. Here's what we know about the open jobs after the Kansas City Chiefs hired Andy Reid and the Buffalo Bills chose Dell Maroney. Arizona Cardinals interview list consists of Denver Broncos offensive coordinator Mike McCoy, Cincinnati Bengals offensive coordinator Jake Gruden, Cardinals defensive coordinator Ray Horton. Chicago Bears interview list. The Bears interview list is up to 13 names, with most of them on the offensive side of the ball. Here goes Houston Texans offensive coordinator Rick Dennison, Bears special teams coordinator Dave Tube, Minnesota Vikings linebackers coach Mike Singletary. Wouldn't that be amazing? And he's to play for the Bears. Vikings Special Teams Coordinator Mike Pfeiffer, Seattle Seahawks Offensive Coordinator Darrell Bevell, Dallas Cowboys Special Teams Coach Joe DeCamillis, Indianapolis Colts Offensive Coordinator Bruce Arians, New Orleans Saints Offensive Coordinator Pete Carmichael, Denver Broncos Offensive Coordinator Mike McCoy, Tampa Bay Buccaneers Offensive Coordinator Mike Sullivan, Atlanta Falcons Special Team Coordinator Keith Armstrong, Green Bay Packers Offensive Coordinator Tim Clements. Other notes, Bears General Manager Phil Emery wants his head coach in place by January the 19th, although Jimmy Johnson tweeted Friday morning this morning that CFL coach Mark Trestman got the job in Chicago. There's been no official word from the team and NFL.com's Albert Breer and Ian Rappaport to confirm the Bears will continue their head coach search. And then there's the Cleveland Browns. Browns named Rob Shudinski coach. The Browns announced Thursday night that Carolina Panthers defensive coordinator Rob Shudinski would be their head coach. Shudinski had not interviewed with any other teams until meeting with Browns on Wednesday. The Browns earlier made a push to sign their number one target, Chip Kelly, but he ultimately spurred them to stay at Oregon. Penn State coach Bill O'Brien and new Buffalo Bills coach Doug Marrone also met with the Browns. Former Arizona Cardinals coach Ken Wisenhunt interviewed for a second time Thursday. One report suggested the Browns had interest in former Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach John Gruden, but ProFootballTalk.com quickly shot that possibility. And then there's the Jacksonville Jaguars interview list. St. Louis Rams offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer. Other notes, the Jaguars fired Mike Mularkey on Thursday, a week and a half after the end of the regular season. The new general manager, David Caldwell, was familiar with Mularkey from their time in Atlanta, but it made sense for him to start fresh, and we all kind of heard that and knew that. Caldwell and San Francisco 49ers offensive coordinator Greg Roman are old friends. He's a logical target. Philadelphia Eagles interview list, Notre Dame coach Brian Kelly, former Chicago Bears coach Lovie Smith, Cincinnati Bengals offensive coordinator Jay Gruden, Indianapolis Colts offensive coordinator Bruce Arians, Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator Gus Bradley, Denver Broncos offensive coordinator Mike McCoy, Atlanta Falcons special teams coach Keith Armstrong, Falcons defensive coordinator Mike Nolan. Other notes, the Eagles and Cincinnati Bengals offensive coordinator Jay Gruden will meet Monday about the team's head coaching position. The Eagles, like the Browns, swung and missed on Oregon coach Chip Kelly. The Eagles also spoke with Penn State coach Bill O'Brien before he decided to stay in school. They're not interested in another college coach, Notre Dame's Brian Kelly, whom they interviewed on Tuesday, NFL.com's Albert Breer reported. Then there's the San Diego Chargers interview list, former Chicago Bears coach Lovie Smith. I think that would be awesome. Former Arizona Cardinals coach Ken Wisenhunt, Seattle Seahawks defensive coordinator Gus Bradley. Other notes, the Chargers wanted to hire their general manager before setting up any talks with head coaching candidates. And that is a good idea. Hire your general manager. Now that Tim Telesco is in place, Indianapolis Colts offensive coordinator Bruce Arians admitted interested in the job. Now that Telesco, a former Colts executive, is in the Chargers front office, the Chargers will also interview Jay Gruden for their head coaching position per a club choice. Source, and again, this is from Greg Rosenthal, whom you can tweet at Greg Rosenthal. So, interesting breaking coach hiring news, I must say, right? So, sharing this info with you guys. Okay. There. So the Super Bowl is amazing. So we gotta talk. We gotta talk more about what's going on. Let's see. And the NFL draft is coming up on April the 25th to 27th. Of course, the Pro Bowl is January 27th. And Drew Brees, because I can't wait to see Drew Brees. Senior Bowl is January 26th. NFL Honors, February 2nd. The Bowl, of course, everyone knows on the 3rd. The 2013 Scouting Combine is the 20th and 25th of February. And, of course, the draft, like I said before, is April 25th through the 27th. Okay. Hall of Fame bound. They're talking about Warren Sapp and Michael Strahan join 15 Martin era finalists gunning for a spot in Canton. Ah, interesting. That should be good, huh? And they're saying that the court to appoint guardian for Belcher Baby after custody dispute. This is other of this, you know, sports news. Wow. Let's see. Court to appoint lawyer guardian for Javon Belcher, the little baby that was left. They're saying Independence, Missouri, a Missouri court will appoint a lawyer to protect the interests of the four-month-old daughter of the late Kansas City Chiefs linebacker Javon Belcher as her parents argue over custody. Belcher fatally shot the child's mother, Cassandra Perkins, on December 1st. In their Kansas City home, then drove to Arrowhead Stadium and killed himself in front of coaches and the team's general manager, and Belcher's mother. Cheryl Shepard had been living with the couple for about 2 weeks and was in the home when her son killed Perkins. Shepard received temporary custody of Belcher's daughter, Zoe. Yeah, I thought that was the baby's name. Soon after the shootings, and filed a petition in mid-December asking to be appointed as Zoe's guardian and conservator of her estate. Okay, wait a second. I want to read this story, but for some reason the screen wants to freeze up. That's an interesting story. That's why I love to handwrite stuff. They lived with a couple of pets and was in the home when her son killed Perkins. So as soon as I can get this to scroll down, I will continue. So all of this is at NFL.com. So they're saying, okay, which could be worth millions of dollars. The estate could be worth millions of dollars. I didn't know they were. Shepherd of West Babylon, New York, also filed a second petition seeking to be named administrator of her son's estate. Friday morning, she sits silently between her two attorneys in a Jackson County courtroom as probate commissioner Daniel Wheeler addressed the petition. Wheeler changed the status of the custody petition to contested because Zoe's maternal grandparents and other family members in Texas have filed a petition in that state to be Zoe's legal guardian. He also ordered the appointment of a guardian ad item, an attorney who represents the interests of minor children, and set a December 25th hearing on Shepherd's petition to take over her son's estate. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reported Friday that Zoe is staying with relatives in Austin, Texas. In addition to the well-being of the child, millions of dollars are at stake in the custody battle. Zoe's estate or guardian received more than $1 million under terms of the NFL's collective bargaining agreement, including $108,000 annually over the next 4 years, $48,000 in the fifth year, and $52,000 each year until she turns 18. She can keep receiving that amount until she is 23 if she attends college. A trust funded by the Hunt family, which owns the Chiefs, along with the team, coaches, players, employees, and contributions from the public, who have cared for the child. Also, Belcher's beneficiary will receive $600,000 in life insurance plus $200,000 for each credit season. Belcher was in his fourth season at the time of his death and $100,000 in a retirement account. Shepherd's attorney, Gretchen Gold, declined to answer questions after the hearing and said her client didn't have any comments either. Zoe's maternal grandparents, Rebecca Ann Gonzalez and Daryl Perkins, and other Texas relatives have filed a lawsuit seeking to revoke custody of the girl, that her residence to be in Tarrant County, Texas, and that a guardian ad item, litem, be appointed. A Fort Worth judge has scheduled a January 22nd hearing in that lawsuit. The judge will conduct a conference on January 17th with its Jackson County, Missouri counterpart and attorneys for Zoe's maternal and paternal grandparents to discuss whether Texas or Missouri has a jurisdiction in the case. I had no idea they were going through that. So I'm liking that, and so I like that, and trying to cook Google Plus it also. I had no idea that was going on. I thought maybe they were, you know, taking care of that and all that good stuff. Wow, but prayers with both sides of the family, and especially the baby who lost both her parents right before Christmas, even though she was only 4 months old, you know, she didn't have her parents but for the holiday season and now for it to grow up. I mean, my goodness, it's so sad, you know. Okay, so I'm going to play a couple more music and talk a little bit more talk. And remember, Weekend Edition airs also this weekend. I did not broadcast Sports Edition or Weekend Edition this past weekend, but most definitely will this weekend. That's why I ask you to send me awesome music to add to the playlist. And also, be sure to call in. Here's some news from the FEM office. The Jewish Cinema Mississippi 2013. Check out JewishCinemaMS.com. Join Jewish Cinema Mississippi 2013 for a celebration of Jewish and Israeli-themed independent films. All showings will be held at the Melco Grandview Cinema in Madison, Mississippi, beginning on January the 23rd at 7:15 p.m., and that's on a Wednesday. On Wednesday, you can see My First Wedding. An action-packed 90-minute unveils religious and personality tensions between families, theological musings of a wandering priest and rabbi, sex, drugs, rock and roll, then now grandparents and the hidden motives of ex-lovers, dedicated to the memory of Suzanne Goodwin. And then on the 24th at 7:15 on that Thursday, it will be the movie A Bottle in the Gaza Sea, a gripping, unsentimental drama of the Israeli-Gaza conflict, a lot of action and pacifism. Message of hope and reconciliation, and A Bottle in the Gaza Sea is a must viewing. And on the 26th, from 6 p.m., 7 p.m., 7:15 and 8:30, and at 6 p.m., sponsors reception, special ticket required, music provided by Glenn Hartman and Jonathan Frelick, two of the founding members of the New Orleans Klezmer All-Stars, and local legend Buddy Dr. Rhythm Fish. I know Buddy Fish. 7:15, Hava Najla. Followed the Infectious Party song on its fascinating journey, a hilarious and surprisingly deep film. And then at 8:30, there's going to be the Klezmer concert featuring Glenn Hartman, Jonathan Frelick, and Buddy Dr. Rhythm. And then on January 27th at 3 p.m. Sunday, there would be Remembrance to Those Who Swore Their Seen Enough Holocaust-themed films to last a lifetime. Rescind Your Vow Just This Once. Remembrance is that good. It's better than good. It's unforgettable. It's a commemoration of the United Nations sponsored by International Holocaust Remembrance Day. And again, this email comes from Mississippi FEM office at femmississippi.org. And Ward Emily is the director. And the number is 601-359-3297. I advise you sign up to receive information and to be a part of the directory. And check it out, especially if you're in film, acting, or behind the camera. And check out all the centers and how it's so awesome to produce your films here. If they're big films or your independent films here in Mississippi. Okay? Really, I'm telling the truth. awesome place to make films. There's been independent film being made here just recently. So, you know, it's good. Major films are made here and independent films also. You know, there are a lot of creators here. Just think about it. A lot of your big names are from the Deep South and from here, the state of Mississippi. LD Barnes has a new song out, too. I didn't get a chance to add it to my playlist, but you'll hear it during tomorrow, the Weekend Edition, and also other songs that I have been receiving, and also look forward to getting some new songs overnight. You all just keep me filled with awesome music. Yes, indeed. So, wow. It's a lot to talk about. I've been getting a lot of information to you. A lot of you like to know what's happening in Mississippi and in the capital city. And so I'm going to fill you in during the next broadcast, during the weekend edition of Culture Shock Entertainment Press. Also, because I've received in city notes from the city of Jackson and what's going on at the complex here in downtown Jackson also. So I'll fill you in and fill you in with some other info from all my friends worldwide of what's going on and what's happening. Because, you know, you might be in that city, and you might be in that city and don't even know. If you're like me, sometimes I'm the last person to know what's going on, like right up under my nose. I know, it's wild, isn't it? Here's my friend Morris Mills, To Be Loved. Awareness So all of us regarding lupus. I have friends with lupus, no friends who have passed away because of complications of lupus. And I'm always, I don't know if you're like, sometimes I'm like, wait a second, do I have symptoms of lupus? You know, honestly. So, we all have to be, make sure, you know, kind of look at signs of what's going on with our bodies and all that good stuff. So want to ask you all to like Ivy Fair's new page, Purple Girl Clothing, on Facebook, and also check her out on Twitter and also via Instagram also. Okay? And so you can stay informed. Also, I received an email from Wendy Williams earlier today about a makeover, and I entered it. You know, I was surprised I entered it because, you know, working on dropping a few LBs, but it would be awesome if I would win a makeover, celeb makeover on the Wendy Williams show. But you know what? I love the Wendy Williams show, and I'm glad she interacts with her supporters and fans a lot, because sometimes I catch myself getting so involved with Live with Kelly and Michael. Sometimes I miss her show. Okay, here's the Deion Sanders news that was published yesterday in the North Dallas Gazette, Your Pride to Opportunity, a Dallas paper. And it's by Kendria Brown. She's an NDG intern. And it says that Deion Sanders and Polaris divorce has brought another legal dispute for Deion. His legal representation wishes to no longer represent him. The reason is because his alleged inability to effectively communicate with their client. Deion is reportedly unable to pay his attorneys as outlined in terms of the employment agreements with his attorneys. Deion and Polaris went to court for legal proceedings on child support on yesterday. Deion is seeking custody of all his three children. He testified, "I want to make my babies happy. Although he wants his children and mother to have a good relationship, he feels he should be the primary caretaker." Deion said, "They are going to be teenagers in a minute, and I feel like they need their father." Deion testified he should have custody of his kids because he has a strong relationship with his boys and daughter. Deion Sanders was asked whether information Polaris Sanders posted about him online was in violation of a court order prohibiting disparaging remarks. His response was that it's a violation of motherhood, period. There's a prenuptial arbitration hearing scheduled for January 22nd and a jury trial for the children custody issues on March the 4th. And then at the end they ask, do you think Deion deserves custody of his children? And then they ask that you comment on Facebook.com, the North Dallas Gazette. Interesting. So that was the news I had seen. You know, I'm not one to gossip, but that's news. And that's from a local Dallas paper. And so I had it on my Facebook page, so I'm now posting it on Pinterest and sending it out on Twitter. It's under my board, blogtalkradio.com, cultureshock-beth. So it's interesting, that's all. So, but, praying for both parties and all parties involved. You know, you're not going to catch me saying anything negative or bad. I wish
Daniel nació dos meses prematuro. Su corazón y pulmones no estaban listos. Lo único que podían esperar sus padres era que algún día saliera sano del hospital y vivirían felices para siempre. Más de 500.000 bebés nacieron prematuros el año pasado. Usted puede ayudar a Match of Dimes para que lleguen más bebés sanos a sus casas. Aprenda cómo en nacersano.org. Colaboremos para que los bebés nazcan más fuertes y sanos.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Jackson Browne by Kano. Here's another one. Where were you? Sending condolences. So his dad, Ruby Jackson's husband, passed away this past Sunday. So sending hugs and kisses and condolences to the entire Jackson Browne fam. But here's Austin Brown. Where were you?
Now my heart is getting critical. She makes me change my whole world. So we can stay by each other. Now I'm calling you, but it's not enough. Where were you when I needed you? Where were you when I needed your love?
They're gigging tonight also. in L.A. because they're always gigging throughout the state of California, and they're excited and looking forward to coming down. And also any other places that are interested in gigging, then they're definitely looking forward to coming down south and having a great time with us. So here is Dread Days Will Rise. And, again, thank you all for your support. There's so much stuff to talk about, and I love it when you call in and chat with me also because, you know, you bring light to the sports that you love also. And there are sports that I would love to talk about. I am a boxing fan. I am a NASCAR fan. I love to talk about golf. And, you know, it was fun that time. My friend Kevin Dorsey, who's now newly married, congratulations to he and his new bride. But remember when Kevin, who is a former professional tennis player, was on the show, and we were talking about tennis, you know? And so that was pretty cool to be talking about tennis and golf and the different sports that we all like and talking business also. So, you know, pretty cool. And you all know I like to talk about golf, especially Tiger Woods. So it's good to talk about other sports. And since I have a strong listenership from the UK, there is a show that broadcasts on Blog Talk Radio about cricket. And I would love to have that host of the cricket show on the show, just because we do network also on Facebook and follow one another. I'd love to get him on the show to talk about the sport of cricket and so on. So just a big shout out to some of my to the Blog Talk Radio community and listeners of the show and co-founder Alan Livy and all that good stuff, you know, really. But here's Dread Days. We'll rise. Again, thank you. time I sneeze. Here's Ed DeBarge Jr. So through. Tweet him at L. DeBarge Jr. and also check him out on Facebook and ReverbNation.com.